It is again my privilege to welcome you to our broadcast today, and I do so, as always, desiring that Jesus Christ would be exalted in all that we say and we do. It is our business to ever be praising God, and we would honor Him in the Trinity of His persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and as we do so, being fully aware of the sovereignty of God, of the greatness of His power, of His might, of His rule, of His majesty, of His beauty, of His holiness, and all that pertains to Him, that are reasons for praise being lifted up unto His name. And so it is my desire that that would be the thrust of what we do here even today. And it is interesting, though, that I do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, it is commanded. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that being said, we acknowledge Him and acknowledge that it is by His mercy and by His grace that we are enabled to do that, which we do. And so it is commanded that it be that way. And furthermore, as I look to the things of the Word of God, and we think in terms of the revelation of God unto us, that it is through Jesus Christ that we know of God, that we learn of God, and that we are literally able to see God. And I say that for this reason. Of course, we understand that there was a Trinitarian or a plural form of the name of God that was used even at the time of the creation. And so the translators have it right when it is reported that God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so that thought is clearly before us. But then we come to the New Testament and understand there that God, having revealed Himself in many ways in the Old Testament, and in particular as Jehovah, the God who is being revealed, the God who saves, who delivers, and was, of course, so often made reference to through the Old Testament, but even now, as we come to see those things which were true of Jehovah in the old being attributed to Jesus in the new. But not again would we be remiss in making note of the fact that God, who at various ways and in various times and sundry manners, has spoken unto us in the past, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And so Jesus Christ then has become reported as He who appeared in the flesh, who showed Himself, who went about doing good, who was indeed set apart and manifested and declared by many wonderful works. And so it is there. One of the disciples one day asked Jesus, when will you show us the Father? His reply was quite simply, "Have I been so long with you and you haven't seen the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen Him." And so I and my Father are one. This He would declare throughout. And so again, we certainly declare and believe and are trusting in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father has decreed salvation, the manifestation of His eternal love. God the Son, in love, has procured the salvation of all who will believe. And then God the Holy Spirit has made that sovereign application of life and immortality to those of God's choosing. And so it is that His people are so declared in that way. And we rejoice then to report and to say In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we desire the greatest of God's blessings to be upon you just now. I want to come to one of my favorite Psalms. It's one that is easy to remember, and actually it's easy to memorize, contrary to some of the others, but the fact is that it is the first Psalm, and this is where we'll be going to, Psalm 1, and we make reference to it being easy for the simple reason that people have to usually begin at the beginning, and if they decide they're going to read in the Psalms, often that's the one that they read first. And it's very fitting that it is placed there. We bow to the wisdom of God in his providential care of seeing that the scriptures were ordered in a way that would be most profitable. Not only are they inspired of God, but they're preserved of God and preserved unto us in a way that is very much reasonable and practical in the manner of communicating these truths to us. And so let me read that psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And may God bless the reading of his word, and may we receive it as that which is inspired of God and preserved for us unto this hour. As we look at this, and as we consider the Psalms in a general manner, we are, first of all, acquainted with the fact that much of it is Hebrew poetry, if not all, and that it is set forth with some very beautiful lines, and there are things that are certainly attractive to us for their beauty, but also for their substance. And this one, as I've already said, it's easy to memorize, and it would be profitable and delightful to do so. It talks about blessedness, which is happiness. It is discovered to be a fitting introduction to this whole book. And while the Psalms are indeed the divine hymnal, they also constitute a valuable volume on theology and the gospel. Let me make that clear. Quite often we read something and say, well, that's Old Testament. That's not New Testament. But very often you will find the Psalms being quoted in the New Testament. And not only that, as you have come to understand, and if you have understood the New Testament, you will find there certain themes, certain aspects of the gospel revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the good news concerning all that he has accomplished, all that he has done in the way of attaining salvation for sinners, that there are things that will suddenly then, as you go back and read from the Old Testament, oh, there's that truth being declared back here. Oh, I see what he was talking about in this place, because there's a common thread. And obviously that is Christ, and he is there in every place. And so even as we look at this passage of scripture here, we'll understand some things as they do relate us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we look at these things in that way. Many of the Psalms are messianic. That is, that they are so clearly talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even entering into Psalm 22 We are reminded of the words of Christ from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But this is a direct quote from out of Psalm 22. The New Testament reveals that the psalmist spoke the words of Christ as though they were past. That is, he's saying it as though it was fact, and indeed it was. It would be coming to pass. They teach us much about redemption, of grace, of mercy. And not only that, they extol the virtues of Christ and set forth his righteousness. Thus, we do well to connect much of the Psalms to the gospel experience of the saints. And this is something that I can personally testify to, that I have often, even in thinking in terms of what became a New Testament revelation to me then, is both strengthened, enhanced, beautified, and brought to even greater clarity as I've read of these things in the Old Testament and in the Psalms in particular, as they are designed to inspire prayer, worship, praise of God, assurances, and concerning the matter of God dealing with the enemies of his people and all of these things. In this psalm, we witness the accomplishment of grace in both a way of delight to believers and a way of fruitfulness along the way. And so I would again direct your attention to this psalm and the opening words, which are, blessed is the man. And that blessed benediction and that declaration of a condition, if you will, of happiness. When we use the word blessed, and I have come across this thought many times in the past, but when we use this word blessed in speaking of God, we're thinking quite like the instructions in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Exalted is your name. You are to be considered above all others. You are to be seen clearly as the one to be worshipped. And yet, as it is applied to men, the word as is synonymous with the idea of being happy, being at peace, being in a state of joy, being in a state of a security, of assurance, of a perceived ability to not only worship God, but to serve God and to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so when we look at here, blessed is the man, then we're not going to wait too long until we dive into and contemplate the very things that constitute or that are the reasons of that blessedness. And he gives us two things that set forth the blessedness. First group of things here are negative, and the second things are very much positive and direct our attention into a proper consideration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, as we look at this, we are reminded of our Lord's introduction to the Sermon on the Mount and the connection of happiness with blessedness. Because if you remember, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And even blessed are you when men shall persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. In each of these cases in the Beatitudes, we could easily substitute the idea of happy. That it can't be that if indeed theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or they shall inherit the earth, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we think of that blessedness, that happiness, that realization of an identity with the Lord and the things that he is determined to bestow upon his people. What a delightful thought that is. Now then, that's happiness. That's a reason for happiness. The things of this world quickly fade away. And even as I think back in times concerning earthly things, earthly doings, and so on, oh, yeah, boy, I really had a good time. How do I feel about it now? Not much. It didn't last. It couldn't continue. But those things that we know in the Lord Jesus Christ, they continue forever. And this is something that should be of an inspiration to we who believe, and it should be a challenge to those that are without. Whatever thought that the unbeliever has as far as happiness is concerned, make no mistake that it will be turned into sorrow in the end result, and there will be no joy to be found therein. And so, the reinforcement of this thought of blessedness is given first in a negative manner. And there is something of a gradient here. In other words, a progression. And in this case, it describes a downward progression of those things that we do not. And this, I think, is so important that we understand that we can be blessed in two ways. We can be blessed in what we receive, what we have, but we can also be blessed in what we are delivered from and what we are not partakers of as a matter of the grace and mercy and as a result of being made partakers of the divine nature, that is of knowing Jesus Christ in the pardon and forgiveness of sins and experiencing the life of God himself in us through the wondrous work of He, the Holy Spirit. And so as I look at this passage of Scripture, the first thing he says is, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And as we think of that, what are we talking about here? That is that the world is always out there trying to tell us what to do. Well, you need to do this. Well, you ought to do that. Boy, this is really fun. Why don't you come along and join us? Why don't you be one with us? Why don't you act in the same manner that everybody else in the world does? And, of course, that was a condition that we were all found in, if you know the Lord, walking according to the course of this world. And that is, though, the fact is that the idea that he walks not in the counsel, that he rejects the counsel of the world and rather seizes upon other thoughts that are far more precious. And we read later in the Psalms that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And so the way we go, the way we walk, and we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And in all of this, there is a joy in the association that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, and he continues on with that thought. He does not stand in the way of sinners. Listen to it as we read it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not going to follow their advice, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And again, this, as I said, there's a gradient. It's bad enough that we might follow the counsel of the ungodly, but then to stand in the way of sinners in which there is an identity with the enemies of the gospel, and that is doing what they do, going along, being on their side, appearing on their side, declaring yourself to be in that way. And so there, and literally, it is to be an identity with the enemies of the gospel. And let me say this, whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so, again, that standing in the way of sinners, and that's the next step down, being an enemy of the gospel. Paul said to the Philippians concerning some people, I tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And then those in the seat of the scornful. In other words, he sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Doesn't put himself in the way in which they actually show contempt to the ways of godliness. And this is that when the scornful, that idea of scorning something. And here when he says scornful, he's not just talking about, certainly we are condemned of being judges, and we are warned about our considerations of those about us. But here indeed, he makes that point very clear that being scornful would be to show contempt, total disdain, total disregard for the Word of God, for the only begotten of the Father, the enemies, to be sure, and to teach, literally show contempt, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, or he has said no to God. And so, the positive aspect of the character of the happy man is this. He is one line here just simply answers it all. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Literally, he thinks about it. He's not under the law and the dominion of death, but rather he loves the way of the Lord and embracing those things that are of him. Man, I have seen people, I've actually witnessed to people and would say to me, well, I just can't give up thus and so, or I'm not going to quit doing this, that, or the other. And if there's anything that you feel that you must hang on to, that's what owns you. That's what's telling you what to do. But the fact is, the child of God loves paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The child of God loves to seek the pleasure of the Lord. And the child of God embraces those things that pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he becomes then the object of study, the subject of meditation. He thinks about him, and he weighs those things against all of these propositions that the world would set before us that are clearly in opposition to him. And then of such a man as this, and the idea of blessedness continues on, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A tree, not merely growing, but planted. A tree that has been put there. And so he's like that. He has been placed in a position where the very source of blessedness, the very source of nourishment, the very source of growth and prosperity is to be found nearby and close association with experiencing this. And I'll draw you even closer as we would examine these things a bit further and be made to think in terms of this. C.H. Spurgeon, preacher from the 1800s, commented on the fact that this is plural, that it is rivers. And so the rivers, and he mentioned specifically the rivers of pardon and the rivers of grace. And I could think in the rivers of the gospel, the rivers of this fruitfulness, the rivers of blessedness that produces the fruitfulness in him. And so the fact is that brings forth whenever it's needed. It's seasonal. It's always there at the right time. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, not as the untimely figs of the insufficient works of men. And so as we contemplate these things, as we look upon them and are made to realize just indeed how happy one might be in this state, and there's no mandate to anything in particular, but the promise is that whatsoever is done in that way shall prosper. And I think this is one of those happy situations in which I could say whatever way I go, whichever way I choose, however it is that I come to seek the things of the Lord, I'll prosper. Why? Because I'm in the place where growth is assured, where identity is clear, and where indeed I am there where all of those rivers of the grace, of the mercy, of the eternal provisions of God, of that which has been merited by the cross of Jesus Christ, is delivered up unto me. Oh, what a precious situation it is. And so it is in that way of prosperity. We're reminded, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And again, he adds, his leaf shall not wither. Under any circumstances, we find ourselves rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. From Colossians 2, verse 7. We are anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're planted. It's he that has put us there. He's put us where we need to be. And thus the function continues on in a most delightful way, so that those experiencing these things are truly happy. There's not much, as we look in the world today, to be happy about as far as what we see. But as we look to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, there is so much to be happy about. The promise is there. The assurance is given. The certainty is ours. He cannot fail. He shall not fail to accomplish all his will and purpose. And so assurance is given. And so he said in verse 4, the ungodly, they're not so. They're like the chaff which the wind bloweth away. There's no endurance. It's one of those things, we know what they're talking about there, when winnowing the wheat, the heavier grains of wheat all was tossed up into the air in the wind. And the wind did not carry the grain away, but it carried away the part that was no good. And this is exactly what happens with the ungodly. And so, the ungodly are not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They're not going to be there. They're not going to be participants. They're not going to be partakers. And then adds this, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Not merely the fact and that it is ordained of God. He knows what directions he's given us. We can read and we know what is there. But he knows the way in that he walks with us. He is among us. He is within us. He indwells us. And it is but that he is ever in the way of knowing us as we are in the way. He is the vine, we are the branches, and are to be found fruitful in him. Oh, my friend, may the Lord enable you to see the horrible end of that which is avoided with this blessed man. And may indeed we as believers know this blessedness as we never have before. Thank you for listening. It's our delight to bring the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to you. These broadcasts are also posted on our website at www.riversidebaptistchurchwv.org. We at the Riverside Baptist Church cordially invite you to attend our services at 10 and 11 on Sunday and at 6:30 on Wednesday. We are grateful for the support of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Gallagher, West Virginia. Their services are at 10:30 and 6 on Sunday. And now may the Lord bless you is our prayer. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song.
praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song.